Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, I got to play something for you early risers here. We led with this in the 9 o'clock statewide hour of the show yesterday, and man, we instantly started getting great messages, got some great phone calls, folks across the state and down in Wyoming loved the song as well. It's a song about Montana property taxes. So Kendall Cotton is the CEO of the Frontier Institute, a free market think tank here in Montana. And of course, he's been talking about property tax reform, the need for property tax relief, just like the rest of us have been talking about here. And so over the Easter weekend, he was playing around with AI, Grok, which is the AI platform embedded in X. He was playing around with another AI platform. And he basically had AI do not only write, but also put together and compose a country song about property taxes in Montana. Now, I've got the full song on our Montana Talks website, and the full lyrics that go with the song as well. You can see it at montanatalks.com right now. But for those of you that weren't able to stick around later in the day, here's a sample of the new AI track.
Out here in Montana, where the big sky's wide, got a little piece of land, my heart's pride. But every year the tax man comes knocking at my door, saying I owe more than I can afford. All these property taxes, they're bleeding me dry. Taking my dreams beneath that big sky. I'm working the land, but it's slipping away. Don't play. My buddy built this cabin with his calloused hands. Now the county's got a lien on my stretch of land. I'm roping and riding just to make ends meet, but the tax bill's rising like dust in the heat. Oh, these property taxes, they're bleeding me dry. But it's slipping away. Montana's my home, but these taxes don't play.
All right, and big thanks to Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute, for sharing that song with us. Yeah, he had AI not only write the lyrics to the song, he had another AI platform actually create the song. Entire deal. And my favorite comment, I think it came from a listener in Kalispell. We also had a great comment from Carrie down in Franny, Wyoming, but I think it was the listener in Kalispell. She said, man, that AI country song is more country than most of the so-called country on the radio today. And I think our friends Mark and Paul down the hall would agree. I got to go tell Mark about that one. I don't even know if he's heard it yet. I'll have to send him the link. All right.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies today, a few isolated showers or a thunder shower possible this afternoon. High temperatures will range from the lower 50s in Bozeman to near 60 in the Billings area. Isolated showers possible tonight, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy. Low temperatures in the low to mid 30s. And then with a chance for some scattered showers Wednesday, highs will stay back in the low to mid 50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
American and Filipino troops began exercises Monday to simulate the defense of the Philippines in a full-scale battle scenario, which will include U.S. fighter jets, warships, and missile systems. Lieutenant General James Glynn is the U.S. Marine Corps Pacific Commander. He says the exercises drive home these main points.
That while we remain committed to peace, we also possess credible combat power that backs up that commitment. the commitment and our promise to maintain a free and open Indo-Pacific.
The Chinese oppose the war drills, which Filipino Exercise Director Francisco Lorenzo says are necessary for the nation due to its location in the disputed South China Sea.
We strengthen our ability to respond to any threats.
The exercises will involve about 9,000 U.S. and 5,000 Filipino troops and will continue through May 9th. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe. Traveling.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I told you about the AI song, the AI country song about Montana property taxes. Yeah, you can see the lyrics to the whole song. Share the song with your friends. Go back and listen to it again. Although, who was I telling? I was telling Michael Foth, who's one of our radio colleagues up here. I was telling him, I was like, you know, it's an upbeat song, but you listen to it, it's about Montana property taxes and how, you know, your land's slipping away, and not to mention your pocketbook. And it's kind of one of those, there's a tear in my beer country songs. You know, I could just see somebody bellied up to the bar, those property taxes, God, because that's how bad it is. All right, let's see, though. But another story that we've got on our Montana Talks website, I saw this breaking news late yesterday afternoon. I was just getting ready to head over to the gym and get a workout in, and I thought, oh, I better post this on our Montana Talks website. President Donald J. Trump is out with a big and early endorsement in the 2026 U.S. Senate race here in Montana, the 45th and 47th president of the United States, endorsing Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. Oh, I had a typo in here. God darn it. Here we go. See, that's what happens when you try to throw something together fast before you go to the gym. I got to fix that now or I'll forget about it. Okay, for Pete's sake. That's why we need an editor around here. Anyway, I wrote over 1 month before the 2026 primary elections. I meant to say over 1 year before the 2026 primary elections. For Pete's sake. But anyway, we'll make it. You guys know what the story is there. All right, let me make that change real fast, because like I say, if I don't do it right then and there, any other dads the same way, any other guys the same way, it's like, okay, if you don't just do it right now, you're gonna walk downstairs to get the job done, and then you're gonna be like, wait a minute, why was I walking downstairs again? And so I that's why I just, all right, there we go, the fix has been made. Well, that's today's Oh for Pete's Sake moment. My goodness. As I was typing it, I was thinking Trump endorsed him over 1 year before the 2026 primary elections. For some reason, I typed month. Whatever. For the first time in 114 years, Montana now has two Republican U.S. senators after the victory last November by now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Here's what President Trump shared on Truth Social yesterday afternoon. Steve Daines is a great man and tremendous senator representing the fantastic people of Montana. I love Montana, won every one of my races there by a landslide, and would only recommend the best to represent you in the Senate. President Trump then highlighted Senator Steve Daines' efforts to win back Republican control of the Senate as chairman of the NRSC in 2024, saying, quote, as chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, Steve worked tirelessly with me in the last election to help elect smart, tough, and sincere America First patriots. In the Senate, Steve is fighting hard to grow the economy, cut taxes, secure the border, stop migrant crime, support our military, vets, unleash American energy dominance, restore peace through strength, and defend our always under siege Second Amendment. And here's the line any GOP candidate wants to hear heading into the midterm elections. President Trump saying this, Senator Steve Daines of the great state of Montana has my complete and total endorsement. He will not let you down. So, yeah, President Trump out with a big early Montana 2026 endorsement. That's on the Montana Talks website right now. Okay, let's see, man, so much else to get to here. Dems 13, the Dems 13, D-E-M-S 13. You guys know what I'm talking about. Man, what is it with the Democrats? They are just all out defending this MS-13 gang member. They want to bring him back to America. I thought it was kind of funny. Even Gavin Newsom, California Gavin Newsom, you can tell he desperately wants to run for higher office. He actually called out his fellow Democrats, and they were complaining about him on MSNBC because he called this whole Kilmar story. Kilmar is the is not a Maryland man. Kilmar is the MS-13 gang member, the guy who is accused of beating his wife multiple times, the guy who is accused of human trafficking on American soil, the guy who literally has the MS-13 gang signs tattooed on his on the tops of his fingers. This is the guy that DEMS-13, the Democrats, DEMS-13, are rallying around. He's an illegal alien from El Salvador. He has no legal right to be in the United States. He's a member of MS-13. He's a repeated wife beater. His wife even filed for a restraining order against him. He's suspected of human trafficking. Fox News broke that story. But yet, despite all of the evidence piling up against him, Democrats are just obsessed. This is what the RNC has been pointing out here, that Democrats are obsessed with bringing him back to the United States of America. Yeah, that Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen down there. Now other Democrats are making the trek down to El Salvador. I wonder if old Fussy Bussy and Zoe Zephyr, you know, it seems like AOC wants one or both of them to run for office again, maybe at a statewide level in 2026. Maybe the two can go, you know, do a big trip down to El Salvador together. You know, have a nice, I don't know if, you know, men are allowed in women's bathrooms down there or not. But anyway, yeah, old Fussy Bussy and Zoe Zephyr to El Salvador. They'd have a great time. A great time of year to go visit El Salvador, from what I hear.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congressional Republicans are trying to pass their tax cut package with a budgetary sleight of hand. Congress passed President Trump's Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which included $2 trillion in tax reductions in 2017. That cost the federal government money. To reduce the cost to U.S. coffers, Congress included a sunset clause to kick in later this year. It used what's called a current law baseline that showed revenue rising by 2026. Now Republicans want to switch to something called the current policy baseline. It practically assumes that the 2026 revenue gains were never in the picture. In essence, they are free. This gimmick doesn't eliminate the cost of the cuts, however. It just hides them. The cost will be real, $4 trillion over 10 years. The Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Budget decried the maneuver as, quote, inaccurate. This allows Republicans to pose as fiscal hawks, but the numbers don't lie. It eventually blows a hole in the deficit. All depends on the yardstick you use to measure things. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics threw caution caution to the wind and avoiding what they judge to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aims. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
The champagne socialists Bernie Sanders and AOC were spotted exiting a private jet during their Fighting Oligarchy tour. FoxNews.com broke the story. We've got that full report and much more. Check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, wait till you see this one. Wait till you hear the song if you missed it on Monday's show. The country song created by AI about Montana property taxes. That and more. MontanaTalks.com.
Put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordblund. A federal court has paused a Clean Water Act case against Ace Black Ranches in Bruno, Idaho for 60 days to give the Trump administration time to decide whether to continue the case. The EPA alleges the ranch disrupted wetlands and altered the Bruno River as part of a sand and gravel operation without proper permits. The court had previously dismissed the case, citing the agency's failure to follow the Sackett v. EPA Supreme Court decision. The EPA's amended complaint now includes satellite photos showing 8 altered connection points between the river and wetlands. Ace Black Ranches argues the EPA's claims are vague, beyond the statute of limitations, and overstep the agency's authority. The ranch could face civil fines up to $66,712 per day per violation. The case is now on hold until late May 2025. Key tax provisions that help farmers and ranchers stay profitable, like the qualified business income tax deduction, 100% bonus depreciation, and the higher estate tax exemption, are at risk if the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires. Groups like the National Corn Growers Association are urging members of Congress to act on the issue. We'll be right back.
Planting season is approaching, and the Northern Pulse Growers Association reminds producers to consider making pulses part of their cropping decisions. Why plant pulses? Pulses offer both financial and agronomic benefits. They act as a natural fertilizer, fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil, reducing the need for nitrogen fertilizers, and continue fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil for the following crop. Additionally, pulses have a low carbon footprint, making them a sustainable choice for agriculture. Make pulses part of your crop rotation. Learn more at northernpulse.com.
Good news, beef producers. Consumers' opinions and preferences on beef are becoming more transparent month after month. Your checkoff dollar supports state-of-the-art research that taps into thousands of consumers' eating habits every month to track modern trends in meat demand and other proteins. With this knowledge, the Beef Checkoff can invest your dollars more wisely in future projects, empower the industry, and strengthen beef's place in the market. Get the full story at yourdollardoes.com. Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Dr. Wadad Cruzado, who will be retiring at the end of June as the 12th president of Montana State University. And I wanted to share with you the message that she left me with at the end of this conversation, as it's a message for each and every one of us.
I'm a much better person thanks to you, thanks to Montana State, but particularly thanks to the state of Montana. I was blown away at the minute I arrived, and they said, people in Montana are authentic. What you see is what you get. They're great conversationalists, and they care. I learned in Jordan, Montana, that neighbor is a verb. And I will always remember that as my parting gift from Montana. This is an amazing place. This is your university. Make sure that you reach out, you hold our feet to the fire, because what we're doing here is precious. We're building the future of America, starting in the Treasure State. Thank you. Go Cats, go.
No one person has done more for Montana State University than Dr. Waded Cruzado. We here at the Western Ag Network would like to tip our hats to her in her 15 years of growing Montana's land-grant university. If you would like to watch or listen to the one-hour sit-down conversation with Dr. Waded Cruzado, visit westernagnetwork.com. I'm Lee Northlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Normally I will just go check the Montana weather hashtag when there's crazy weather going on. Crazy cold weather, crazy hot weather, crazy snow, crazy whatever. And I forgot there was some crazy weather news that came out over the last 24 hours. KRTV.com has the story here. Two land spout tornadoes in 2 days in north central Montana. I just shot a quick note to the National Weather Service office to see how they describe it. Is it land spout? Is it a tornado? Is it not a tornado? Grok tells me a land spout is a type of tornado. It's a weaker, short-lived vortex that forms from a non-supercell thunderstorm, typically under a cumulus cloud, without the intense rotating updraft of a classic tornado. Caden, I shouldn't have told them I was reading from Grok there. I could have tried to sound smart for at least 30 seconds here this morning. Anyway, that's what Grok says about land spouts. I just shot a quick email to the National Weather Service office to see. But here we go. Ryan Dennis has this report. It is only April, but there have now been two confirmed tornadoes in Montana this year, and they happen on back-to-back days. The first tornado occurred in north central Montana on Sunday. The tornado was on the ground on the east side of Highway 87, east of Rocky Crossing between Box Elder and Big Sandy. It was on the ground from approximately 3 p.m. to 3:08 p.m. The second tornado occurred in north central Montana on Monday. This tornado was also on the ground on the east side of Highway 87. Just northeast of Great Falls, near Portage. So that tornado was on the ground from approximately 3:43 p.m. to 3:45 p.m. They were both rated EFU, which means unknown strength. They occurred over farm fields. Unable to find any visible damage, according to the National Weather Service office in Great Falls. So let's see. Now, KRTV is reporting that most likely they were EF0 tornadoes, which means they had wind gusts between 65 and 85 miles per hour. So anyway, but I just had shared a tweet from National Weather Service office in Great Falls, calling it another interesting day in Shoto County, another land spout spotted in the southern portion of the county. And so, yeah, I just shared the photographs as well. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint. Okay, let's jump right into it here. Let's see, where do we start this morning? Let's go back to, you know, Dem S-13, the Democrats now fully becoming the party of MS-13. Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich was on with Jesse Waters last night. I didn't get a chance to listen to the clip yet, but our producer, Caden, snagged it for us. So thanks for grabbing that, Caden. I'm going to start there in about 60 seconds because I want to hear what Speaker Gingrich has to say. Basically, you know, the top line is this. He has never seen the Democrat Party this deranged. So Newt Gingrich, 60 seconds, back after this. House Newt Gingrich on with Jesse Waters last night.
But it's funny. I mean, these guys have lost their minds off the deep end. You know, I mean, how often was Van Hollen upset about Americans who got killed by illegal immigrants? Never. How deeply was he concerned about the families of victims of violence by illegal immigrants? Never. Where's the outrage? But suddenly, he's found this symbol. I've been around a long time. I've dealt with a lot of Democrats. I have never seen the Democratic Party this deranged. I mean, if you watch them, it's like they're looking around trying to find the weirdest, strangest things they can be for. They're out there, you know, I mean, give me a chance to be for males playing in girls' sports. Give me a chance to be for the most radical possible position on illegal immigration. Give me a chance to go out there and stand firmly for a whole series of ideas that nobody else in America wants. I mean, this is remarkable, and it's almost like the party has lost its head.
Are they doing this because Trump is deporting this guy? I mean, if any other president were getting rid of guys like this, they probably wouldn't say anything. They definitely wouldn't be going to have margaritas in El Salvador with them. Is it just Trump derangement syndrome here?
I mean, part of it, to be fair, President Trump is probably the best modern person at getting his opponents totally screwed up. He has some knack. I don't know how he does it, but he does. If I do X, you're going to jump off the cliff and look like an idiot. So every morning he gets up and he thinks.
Anyway, that's a great point there by Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. He's making the point that basically the Democrats walked right into the trap. They rocked right into the Trump trap again. I mean, think about, you know, everything they could be focused on. Think about everything they could be talking about. Or maybe, I mean, is this all the Democrats are left with? Is these phony due process claims? I don't know about you guys, but, you know, when you take the oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you take an oath to defend this country, the Democrats and their backers in the media allowed 15 million plus foreign invaders to invade this country. And now they're doing everything they can to keep them here. They're doing everything they can to keep them here. But think about, now maybe the Democrats thought that they could attack DOGE for, you know, trimming back the federal workforce, for, you know, letting go some of these federal employees to try to deal with and tackle the two trillion, right? Yeah, golly, holy cow, I still can't believe I'm using trillions. $2 trillion deficit that Donald Trump inherited from Joe Biden. Apparently the American people weren't falling for that. They didn't care. They know that Donald Trump is doing what needs to be done to save this country and get this country headed back in the right direction. So that's when the Democrats decided to jump on the Dem S-13 bandwagon here, apparently.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, let me check out, see if we got some messages here as well this morning. Right on, John. I started the 6 o'clock hour by playing the song that we saved for yesterday's 9 o'clock hour. It was the country song, all produced by artificial intelligence, a country song about Montana property taxes. And yeah, there'll be a tear in your beer after listening to that one. But Right on, John says that fella should write another Montana song about primarying the nine rhinos. That's from Right on John and Bozeman. Right on John sent us another one. Even earlier this morning, he says there's a must-watch video on YouTube that was released about 15 hours ago. Houthis attack the massive Nimitz aircraft carrier. Big mistake, he tells us. It was a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, not the Nimitz. It was a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier. It was apparently the video was put out by Navy media, the USS Harry S. Truman. Any countries or bad factions will not want to mess with our military, and makes me feel safer in any world that conflicts arise. So, yeah, I have to see if he can maybe send us a link to that video if you got it handy there, Right on, John. That'd be a fun one to watch. Good Freedom Friday video for later in the week as well. Let's go to Tom in Billings. Tom, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
My thoughts are, and they are valid, and we can even ask David Noble, the Congress in Washington, the Senate and the Congress, including the Congress and the Senate in Montana, they need to do a little more. We can get rid of these district judges if we pass legislation to do so. They do not have any power over to the executive branch as far as immigration and those. Those laws are on the books. This needs to be taken care of. We can get rid of these district judges, these liberal POSs, by legislation. I'm sorry, but a lot of these rhinos, Mitch McConnell's little people in Congress, we need to pass laws to defund or eliminate the power. The laws are already there. We just got to enforce them. It's like immigration laws. The laws are there. We got to just push the law.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up these liberal judges. And, Tom, thanks for the call. Right after the news break that we just had, if you guys heard the Montana State News Network update there from Dennis Bragg, and he was talking about this LGBT judge in Missoula who's pushing his own personal LGBT agenda. That's that liberal judge that says, well, men have privacy rights, so men can go into the girls' bathroom. See, the little girls don't have privacy rights, according to the LGBT judge, the gay judge, who apparently really likes men but doesn't like the women so much. Now, I'm not commenting on the guy's lifestyle. I'm commenting on his ruling. The guy likes men so much and apparently doesn't like women so much that his ruling basically said that, well, men get privacy rights, but little girls don't get privacy rights. Women don't get privacy rights. That's the basis of his TRO blocking a law that protects women and girls' privacy. And isn't it interesting that that news update played right after we were featuring a audio clip from former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich talking about how he has never seen the Democrat Party as deranged as they are right now. And then what do we go into after talking about Dem S-13 defending MS-13 gang members? We go right into a news story about a Democrat judge in Missoula ruling against women and girls having privacy in their own locker rooms and bathrooms. Yeah, crazy. Deranged, as Speaker Gingrich called it. Tim in Billings next up over the phone lines. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Do you recall the name Elian Gonzalez?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I can see the photo right now.
The Democrats pried this boy out of his grandmother's arms or whatever at gunpoint to send him back to Cuba to appease a communist. And apparently now they just want to keep appeasing communists because they want to allow, you know, more people to come into our country illegally. I just find it funny how their values change with whatever they find will give them more sway over the levers of power. You know, it's just astonishing to me, because if you don't have the memory of a goldfish that lasts for about 2 seconds, you can remember things like this and think, wait a minute, why did their entire platform shift? Oh, maybe because they thought they could get all of these illegals and then go ahead and vote for them. It's just disgusting. And people who go along with this, they're just phonies. They've got zero moral credibility to argue any sort of, you know, reason with, because they just will do or say whatever. You know, you always say Semper Gumby when it comes to keeping the show going. Well, their moral flexibility, their morals are Semper Gumby, because they'll do whatever they can to try to stay in power.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I remember that Elian Gonzalez, for those of you who don't know that story, go look it up. If you're too young to remember, back in the 90s, Janet Reno was attorney general at the time. And, yeah, they went and snatched this little boy from the family that was taking care of him and then shipped him back to Cuba. These guys will go raid a home in the middle of the night to take a little boy from, I think it was a Florida home, right, and send him back to the communist country of Cuba. But now, oh, you send an illegal alien, wife-beating, human trafficking, MS-13 gang member back to his home country of El Salvador, and these guys are losing their ever-loving minds. All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. So it was interesting. So our producer, Caden, you know, he asked you, what's your name? Where are you calling from? And then he'll send me a quick little synopsis. So Caden told me it's Tim in Billings on line two. He wants to talk about how legal immigration has changed over the years. And it was a great phone call. What I thought Tim was going to bring up was the numbers of deportations under various U.S. presidents. Because I've seen a meme floating around on social media, but I didn't know if it was accurate or not. So I just went and asked Grok. Tim's phone call reminded me to do this. How many illegal aliens were deported under various U.S. presidents? Here you go, Bill Clinton. 12.3 million over 8 years. George W. Bush, 10.3 million over 8 years. Barack Hussein Obama, 5.3 million over 8 years. They don't want Donald Trump to deport one MS-13 gang member right now. These people are nuts. More deranged than ever before. All right, let's see. Next up, Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, great to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning. I just have a couple of talking points today. The Dem-13. Okay, you know, nobody said anything when Joe Biden and Harris were flying these illegals into our country in secret during the nighttime. There was, 325,000 of them that were flown into our country against our will, without our knowledge, and they were just bust everywhere into our country. Nobody stopped them. The Republicans were weak in the knees. And I'm just so sick and tired of hearing all this. I want the laws enforced. And I'll tell you one way to get these people to self-deport is, I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago here in Roundup at our hardware store in Main Street, there was a group of them. There were four young guys, I would say about 18 to 21 years old. One could speak English, the others couldn't. And they stunk because they had nowhere to live. They just stunk. They reeked. And the one was buying pop, who could speak a little bit of English. And I just stood there. I didn't make a scene or, you know, out of myself because I've already reported things up here to the sheriff's department, but who will not do anything to remove these people or to hold them until ICE can come down here.
I was going to say, have you used the ICE tip sheet?
Just don't give them anything to eat or drink.
Have you used the ICE tip line? Because if you suspect that there's illegal aliens, yeah, ICE has a number you can call. They've got a website. You can just type in whatever info you got, and then ICE will investigate it.
Yes, I have, but you know, if you go on the phone, you're there for hours and hours, and I can't spend 24 hours holding a telephone to my ear. I mean, it's hard to get through.
I hear you. That's why I like the website, because they've got an ICE tip form. I literally just searched ICE tip line, and the website form comes right up, and you can just type all the information in, yeah, and then you don't get stuck on hold, yeah. All right, Nancy, great to hear from you. Steve in Valentine, sorry, I got to hit the hard break, and then we got the legislative update, but Steve, if you want to call back in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll continue with open phone lines here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But first, we've got the legislative update here right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
In this new poll that came out about potential 2028 candidates, a Yale youth poll, it points out, it found that both men are upside down with their party's young voters, and they found a plurality of Democrats would vote for Kamala Harris, 27.5%, AOC, 21.3%, Pete Buttigieg, Pothole Pete, 14%. No other Democrat got more than 5% of the votes. The top three candidates were the same among young Democrats only, with even stronger support for Harris at 37.4%, Ocasio-Cortez at 28.2%, which, by the way, if you're Kamala, you should be paying very close attention to it.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless that comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. a free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies today, a few isolated showers or a thunder shower possible this afternoon. High temperatures will range from the lower 50s in Bozeman to near 60 in the Billings area. Isolated showers possible tonight, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy. Low temperatures in the low to mid 30s. And then with a chance for some scattered showers Wednesday, highs will stay back in the low to mid 50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
The champagne socialists Bernie Sanders and AOC were spotted exiting a private jet during their fighting oligarchy tour. FoxNews.com broke the story. We've got that full report and much more. Check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, wait till you see this one. Wait till you hear the song if you missed it on Monday's show. The country song created by AI about Montana property taxes. That and more. MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
Here we sit just days before the end of the 2025 legislative session. Over the course of the past 4 months, we followed the process as nearly 1,000 bills were heard in the House and roughly 550 were heard in the Senate. We learned how bills are drafted, how they get introduced and heard in various committees, and we followed floor action where the bills voted on and finally passes or dies in its original House. If it passes, it then moves on to the second House where the process begins all over again with committee hearings and floor votes. We also talked about conference committees where House and Senate versions of the same bill are reconciled into one so that the final vote in each chamber is on a version of the bill with the same exact wording. What we have yet to discuss is what happens to a bill once it passes the legislature and heads to the governor. We all know that governors can pass or veto bills, but it's actually not that simple. The governor has more options and as a result, a lot more power at this stage of the game. Once a bill passes its final vote, it goes back to the House of Origin to be enrolled. At that point, the House Speaker or Senate President can send the bill to the governor immediately or sit on it for political reasons. Once it's actually sent to the governor, it starts a clock. At that point, he has 10 days to decide what to do. He can either sign it into law or wait for 10 days and let it become law without his signature. Governors often do this when they don't like a bill, but it's so popular that a veto would certainly be overridden. They can also veto a bill outright, in which case the legislature has the opportunity to vote on whether to override or sustain the veto. It takes a supermajority of 2/3 of each house to override a veto. If the legislature is no longer in session, the legislature can be pulled remotely, or in the case of highly controversial bills, it can be reconvened to reconsider the vetoed bill. If the legislature fails to override, then the bill is dead. That's for a normal veto, but the governor actually has another tool in his toolbox called an amendatory veto. In that case, the governor tells the legislature he's willing to allow the bill to become law if they change certain provisions. As part of the veto, he also provides language that he deems acceptable. If one or both houses reject the governor's amendments, the bill is then sent back to the governor for reconsideration. At that point, he can either allow it to become law in its current version or veto it. Either way, he can only send the bill back to the legislature once with suggested amendments. So far this session, Governor Gianforte has used his amendatory veto twice. The first was on House Bill 228, a bill to revise the requirements for the reporting of actual costs for legislation with projected fiscal impacts. In that case, he changed the reporting requirement to once per year rather than every 6 months. The second bill was Senate Bill 116 to revise the Montana Heritage Preservation and Development Commission membership. Both amendatory vetoes were sent last week Thursday and have yet to be voted on. Which brings us to our last point. Amendatory vetoes can only be voted on while the legislature's in session, so time is of the essence. The legislature could adjourn as early as this week, but for sure by next week, and we'll let you know if any other amendatory vetoes crop up between now and then. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Yeah, interesting update there from Jeff Laslaffy, especially when it comes to amendatory veto. So appreciate that. Hey, big deal, big deal. This is something you're going to want to take advantage of right now. It's the biggest sale of the year. YHIC, your home improvement company. You can transform your space up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel, plus up to an additional 10% off and a free shower pan or bathtub. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat, plus financing you can handle. Zero down, zero interest, zero payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Biggest sale of the year. Get up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel, plus up to an additional 10% off, and they're throwing in a free shower pan or bathtub. Go to YHIC.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics caution to the wind and avoiding what they judge to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aims. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.